If you have your Bibles, please open up with me to Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10 is where we're going to be spending our time this morning. Daniel chapter 10, verses 1 through 9. And as you open up to Daniel chapter 10, I just want to let you know that we're going to enter into a very mysterious portion of Scripture. This is a very mysterious chapter, if you will. One pastor said that this is the most mysterious chapter in all of the Bible. I personally loved what J. Vernon McGee's introduction to this chapter said. He writes this: "You might call this chapter weird or strange. The veil of the spiritual world is partially and momentarily pulled aside, and we get a look into the unseen world. There is nothing here to satisfy the morbid curiosity of an idle spectator. However, there is enough to produce a beneficial and sobering effect upon the humble believer, similar to the effect that is produced upon Daniel." And I would agree with J. Vernon McGee's analysis here on this chapter as a whole. If you would sit down and read through Daniel chapter 10 in one setting, you would conclude that it is definitely a strange chapter. It is definitely strange. In fact, what this chapter will begin to unpack for us is the reality that God's people are in a very real spiritual battle that is unseen to the human eye. In your notes, you have that statement there. God's people are in a very real spiritual battle that is unseen to the human eye. Some have correctly stated that this spiritual battle that we are in is not just a spiritual battle, but that it is actually a satanic war. The Apostle Paul reminds us in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14, we read this: that for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Yet Peter warns believers to be on the alert, because your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. The reality is that for God's people, we live life from a position of victory, from the power and the presence of sin, and are engaged in a very real satanic spiritual war. That's the truth for you and I. Let's begin in Daniel chapter 10. We're going to read verses 1 through 9 together. I'd like to encourage you to read along with me as we begin in verse 1 here. Daniel chapter 10, verse 1. We begin in this: "In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, who was named Belshazzar, and the message was true and one of great conflict. But he understood the message and had an understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, had been mourning for 3 entire weeks. I did not eat any tasty food, nor did meat or wine enter my mouth, nor did I use any ointment at all until the entire 3 weeks were completed. On the 24th day of the first month, while I was by the bank of the great river, that is the Tigris, I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, there was a certain man dressed in linen, whose waist was girded with a belt of pure gold of Uphaz. His body also was like beryl. His face had the appearance of lightning. His eyes were like flaming torches, his arms and feet like the gleam of polished bronze, and the sound of his words like the sound of a tumult. Now I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, while the men who were with me did not see the vision. Nevertheless, a great dread fell on them, and they ran away to hide themselves. So I was left alone and saw this great vision, yet no strength was left in me, for my natural color turned to a deathly pallor, and I retained no strength. But I heard the sound of his words, and as soon as I heard the sound of his words, I fell into a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground." As we approach the 10th chapter today in our study of Daniel, it has been observed that this is an introductory chapter to Daniel's final vision that we will see in this book. In fact, we can break down these last three chapters in the final way. In your notes, you have this breakdown. In Daniel chapter 10, verses 1 through chapter 11, verse 1, we find the introduction. That is the introduction. In Daniel chapter 11, verses 2 through 35, it deals with the immediate future. We find the immediate future. That is, the content in this section deals with prophecy that was given to Daniel that has already been fulfilled historically. And then we come to our last section, Daniel chapter 11, verse 36 through chapter 12, verse 4, which deals with the far future. The far future. The end times before the second coming of Jesus Christ. So you have the introduction, you have the immediate future, and then you have the far future. In my notes from Frontier, the main emphasis when it came to this entire chapter was on the fact that God reveals specific things about Israel to one who has an intense desire to know His truth and fervently seeks God in prayer to understand it. As we open up this chapter, Daniel is a lot older in life, yet he is very active when it comes to desiring to know more about God's word and will. Pastor Thompson observed that Daniel leaves behind a legacy of a man who wanted to carefully understand God's revelation. In fact, the final three chapters of his pen show that he did come to carefully understand God's program. As Daniel would receive this last vision, a key verse to keep in mind comes from verse 14, which says, "Now I have come to give you an understanding of what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision pertains to the days yet future." This vision that Daniel would receive was very important. It was a very important vision that contained a message that God wanted Daniel to have and to understand. What is equally true is the fact that Satan's servants did not want Daniel to have this information, and Satan certainly did not want Daniel to understand this revelation that concerned the nation of Israel. Daniel was involved in this great spiritual war. Now, from these beginning verses in chapter 10, we will discover nine facts that deal with this message that God gave to Daniel. We will discover nine facts that deal with this message that God gave to Daniel. The first fact that deals with this message that God gave to Daniel was that this message was true. That is our first fact. This message was a true message. Notice with me this point in verse 1. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, who was named Belshazzar, and the message was true and one of great conflict. It was a true message. From this verse, we find the general nature of this message, which we can expect as this was a revelation that Daniel would receive from God concerning the nation of Israel. As to the timing of it, I have included in your notes a timeline of Daniel's visions and when he had received these visions as a visual aid for your help. This will hopefully help you to see when Daniel would have received these four visions. The second fact that deals with this message that God gave to Daniel was that this was a message of tribulation. In verse 1, we notice that word conflict there. That is the second fact concerning this message that God gave to Daniel. This message was of tribulation. Notice in verse 1, when Daniel testifies to the truthfulness of this revelation, he then writes that it was one of great conflict. The Hebrew words here for great conflict has been translated in different ways. It has been translated as a great warfare, or a great task, or more specifically involving great suffering. But the implication is that the period in view is a long and strenuous one involving great conflict and trouble for the people of God. So this was a message of tribulation. The third fact that deals with this message that God gave to Daniel was that this message was comprehensible. Verse 1 as well, we note that also, meaning Daniel was able to comprehend or understand this revelation that God had given to him, which is interesting because the past visions that he had received left him perplexed and confused. The fourth fact that deals with this message that God gave to Daniel was that this message came when Daniel was troubled. It came when he was troubled. Notice with me verses 2 through 3. In those days I, Daniel, had been mourning for 3 entire weeks. I did not eat any tasty food, nor did meat or wine enter my mouth, nor did I use any ointment at all until the entire 3 weeks were completed. Before Daniel would receive this revelation from God, we find him in a troubled state of mind. The passage tells us that he was mourning for 21 days. And so, why do we find Daniel in this state? That's the question. Why is he in this state of mourning? Well, the occasion for Daniel's fasting more than likely was one of his concern for a great number of Jews who had returned to Jerusalem. The vision that we'll be studying in the last section of Daniel took place about 4 years after the revelation that Daniel had received from chapter 9. Now, by this statement, the first year of Cyrus's reign, we know from Ezra chapter 1, verses 1 through 11, that Cyrus had allowed God's people, the Jews, to return back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. Daniel was a lot older in life and had a unique position of power within the kingdom, so he did not go with his people to rebuild the temple. As the book of Ezra makes it clear, the children of Israel had encountered great difficulty in getting settled in the land. Although the altar had been set up and the foundation of the temple laid, the work had been suspended because of opposition by the people of the land. And Ezra chapters 3 through 4 gives us some insight into how this all played out. All of this was a great concern to Daniel as he wanted to see the restoration of the temple and Jerusalem. Daniel was, simply put, concerned for his people as they sought to restore the temple and the city of Jerusalem and were hindered in their efforts. Daniel recognized that this people were in a great spiritual battle. But let's keep in mind that God was not hindered. God's timing for the completion of the temple and the restoration of Jerusalem were right on schedule. Let's keep that in mind. This, of course, brings us to the fifth fact that deals with the message that God gave to Daniel. And the fifth fact was this, that this message came when Daniel was by the Tigris River. We see that in verse 4. Notice with me in verse 4. It says, on the 24th day of the first month, while I was by the bank of the great river, that is the Tigris. The Tigris River was about 600 miles northeast of Jerusalem, and though Daniel was physically far away from home, his heart was with his people. He mentions the 24th day of the first month here in this verse, which points us to the first month on the Hebrew calendar being Nisan, which would have been the time when the Jewish nation was observing Passover. So Daniel was concerned for his people. He was concerned for his people. The sixth fact that deals with this message that God gave to Daniel was that this message came from a heavenly messenger, verses 5 through 6. We note that as well. I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, there was a certain man dressed in linen, whose waist was girded with a belt of pure gold of Uphaz. His body was also like beryl. His face had the appearance of lightning. His eyes were like flaming torches. His arms and feet like the gleam of polished bronze. And the sound of his words like the sound of a tumult. What was interesting when I read these two verses in my commentaries on Daniel was that there was some debate as to the identity of this messenger. Some argued that this messenger was an angel, and others argued that this messenger was a theophany, which simply means an Old Testament appearance of Jesus Christ. When you hear that word or term theophany, that is what that refers to. Pastor David Thompson, when he taught our lectures in Daniel at Frontier, he said that he didn't believe that this was an Old Testament appearance of Jesus Christ, and he gave a couple of reasons for this. One one reason he gave came out of verse 13. And you'll note there in verse 13 that this messenger that appeared to Daniel was actually hindered by a demon while traveling to Daniel. Pastor Thompson pointed out that this was something that would not happen to Jesus Christ. And the other reason why Thompson believed that this messenger was not a reference to Jesus was because this messenger needed help from the angel Michael in order to defeat the demon. And while Jesus cannot be hindered by demons, he certainly does not need help from angels to accomplish his tasks. This, of course, can be argued and has been argued, but I personally would hold this same view. This description of this messenger in verses 5 through 6 certainly can apply to an angel. You'll notice the description here. The messenger was wearing linen, which would have represented purity. On his waist, he was wearing a belt, which was made of gold. And when it says that his body was like beryl, Wavard pointed out that Daniel was describing this messenger as being one whose entire body was like a gigantic, transparent jewel. Then it says in verse 6 that his words were like the sound of a tumult, which we would describe as being a strong and deep voice. So Daniel is approached by this angelic being. The seventh fact that deals with this message that God gave to Daniel was that this message was given only to Daniel. We note that in verse 7. Now I, Daniel, alone saw this vision. That's what we find in the first part of verse 7. So it is obvious that God meant for Daniel to have this vision or revelation, and him alone at that time. The eighth fact that deals with this message that God gave to Daniel was that this message had initiated fear within the hearts of those with Daniel. You'll note that also in the second part of verse 7. Message had incited fear within the hearts of those who were with Daniel. While the men who were with me did not see the vision, nevertheless a great dread fell on them, and they ran away and they hid themselves. And those that were with Daniel sensed something was going on, which caused them to react in fear. What this indicates to us, what this shows us this morning as we are looking at chapter 10, is that this spiritual world is very real and it is very perplexing. These men reacted when they saw these things. And they reacted in fear. One of my pastors from downstate used to say that it probably would be very shocking and frightening to see the activities of angels and demons with our own eyes. I think that it would be pretty disturbing if we could see that spiritual realm. But we are in a spiritual war. The ninth fact that deals with this message that God gave to Daniel was that this message left Daniel in a weak state. I want us to notice that as well. Daniel would receive this vision, and he would be left in a weak state after having received it. Notice with me what it says here in verse 8. So I was left alone and saw this great vision, yet no strength was left in me. For my natural color turned to a deathly pallor, and I retained no strength. But I heard the sound of his words, and as soon as I heard the sound of his words, I fell into a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. What Daniel was given through this vision was very heavenly and shocking. And as a result, this weakened Daniel. Verse 8 says that his strength left him, his natural color turned to a deathly pallor, meaning he had an unhealthy appearance. As a result of all of this, he eventually lost his strength. We note that also. So again, as we wrap up this morning, we want to remember that God's people are in a very real spiritual battle that is unseen to the human eye. This truth was true for the Jewish nation as they began to travel back towards Jerusalem in order to rebuild the temple in Daniel's day. And it is also true of believers today. You know, God gave this vision to Daniel at a time in his life when he was ready to accept it. Warren Wiersbe points out that Daniel didn't have this vision early in his ministry, but at the end of a long and faithful life. I want us to take note of that. This vision would encompass a very difficult time for the nation of Israel. But Daniel was a faithful servant who wanted to know more about the plans that God would have for him and for his people. Listen, before Daniel received this vision, he was greatly concerned for, and he cared tremendously about the work that his people were involved in within the city of Jerusalem. And for us today, we can look back on history and see God's faithfulness played out by the fulfillment of his word to his people. Today, as we look at the work that God is doing through his church and in our country, we may find ourselves troubled at times by the state of the church spiritually. It is troubling when we think about the sins of our nations. But what is exciting to know is that God has a plan and a purpose. In his timing, as his people, we will see his faithfulness displayed as we can rest in and bank on the fact that he will carry out his future plans for the church and his future plans for the nation of Israel. In the meantime, we are, as God's people, in a very real satanic spiritual war, and the enemy has put a target on all of our backs. After studying this section of Daniel, I am convinced of this, that Satan would gain a huge victory in our lives if he would find us to be discouraged and so frustrated with the local church that we would want to throw in the towel when it came to serving Christ. Instead, may the Lord find us faithful to serve him in the days ahead and hungry to apply his word to our lives as well. Last week, Pastor Brad and I had the opportunity to visit a church in Alabama. And the pastor that spoke on this spiritual battle that we are involved in as God's people. And the reality of being in a spiritual battle is this, that we will gain scars. We are going to accumulate scars as we fight this battle. In fact, this pastor preached on the scars that we will eventually gain as believers when we serve Christ. But what one thing that he noted about scars in the ministry was something that I'm never going to forget. Those scars do not take away from who we are. Let me say that again. When we gain scars, and I'm talking about spiritual scars, we might wrestle with some pain. We might wrestle with some difficulty. Maybe they are spiritual scars, maybe emotional scars. When we accumulate those scars hurt, but they do not take away from who we are. They add to who we are. They add to us. And if we are in a spiritual battle, then we will have scars of our own. Scars that God has ordained for us to have for his glory. I want us to think about this for a moment. When Jesus resurrected from the dead, he still had his scars. He could have healed himself. I think about that. Jesus could have healed himself when he resurrected from the dead. But those scars bore a testimony for us. The scars that Jesus has bear the testimony that he would accomplish a tremendous work on the cross. And Jesus showed his scars to Thomas. And Thomas believed. Daniel at this stage in his life. We come to the fourth and final vision. At this age, he had some scars. He had pains from his past. He was involved in a spiritual battle. He was a seasoned saint. And before his last vision, we find him here in verse 9 to be one who has no strength. He heard the words of this angelic being, and what does it do? Causes him to fall on his face. And so what I want to leave us with today is this recognition that you and I are in this spiritual war together. It's a spiritual war that is very real. So what do we need to do? Well, we can look at our scars, but that won't get us anywhere. Our scars add on to ourselves. We need to keep our eyes on Christ. We need to keep focused on Christ as we are in this spiritual battle together. Let's keep our focus on Him. And the promise there is that when we have our focus on Christ, we will not grow weary in serving Him. Let's keep that before us. In light of Daniel chapter 10, we are in this spiritual battle together. Let me close in a word of prayer and then we will be dismissed. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this day that You've given to us. And I want to thank You for this tremendous truth and realization that You've given to us from this chapter, that we are in a spiritual battle. This is a very real spiritual battle. It was a battle that left Daniel with emotional scars. It left him with physical scars. Lord, we see him concerned for his people. And You would use Daniel in a tremendous way still yet, as he would have his focus on You. And I thank You for that example that we have of him in the scripture. And I pray that for all of us, we would have our focus on Christ today and throughout this week, so that we would not grow weary. I thank You for that. I want to thank You for Your great love, for all that You do. In Your name I pray. Amen.